The following message was given by Brother Roger Fisk and Brother Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 13, 2017. The title of the message is The Nature of the Church. Scripture's verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, Acts chapter 2, verse 24, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 to 13, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, John chapter 19, verses 33 to 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 9, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 25, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 32.
I just want to say that, this week we're coming into this matter from message number 4 from the Memorial Day Conference. And, that conference was such a blessing to us. So many saints enjoyed the riches of the sharing. And I have to say that this message number 4 was a particularly special message. If you'll recall, if you were there or if you had a chance to listen to it or see it on the link, our brother Andrew shared a very strong word to us concerning the nature of the church, and even provided some very sweet details concerning the history of the church in New York City. Our brother hadn't spoken for many, many months, and he endured death, and 16 months it had been since he had spoken. He actually surprised the Living Stream Ministry staff that he was even here. But, he made this sacrifice to come and to stand and be one with us. Hallelujah! You know, that is such a pattern of the Lord himself, right? But I just was very touched by that. But in his coming, he shared this message, number 4, concerning the nature of the church. And he began by saying, speaking concerning this point, that the condition of the church can be up and down. Good, it could be good, or it might be glorious, but it could also be not so positive. But the nature of the church never changes. The nature of the church is of Christ alone. You know, we have to see this vision, that the church is out of Christ. So before I continue, I would like us to go ahead and read, if we could, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 together. Have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of the Lord in every place, who is theirs and ours. So hallelujah! This is the church of God! You know, the church in Corinth, we all know, in its condition, was not so glorious. Actually, the subject is of this book is Christ and His cross as the solution to all the problems. So the fact that the subject mentions the word problems, as we all know, we went through this book recently, there were problems in the church. The condition was not glorious. There were many factors that were in play. There was division, right? There was sin. There was heretical teaching. Many negative things. But the Apostle Paul here says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the church of God. Hallelujah! It's the church of God. This is concerning its nature, the church's nature. And, he also pointed out here that this is a matter of what the church is of, right? So if you have a man of straw, well, the man of straw is made of straw. But a man of God, hallelujah, has God in him as his nature. This table is of wood. Well, listen, the church is the church of God. God is the divine nature is the element and the substance of the church. So I really appreciated that point, which is in Corinth, right? So we see the universal church here. We also see the local church, and it's in its expression. but all those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of the Lord. You know, we were up at the Summer School of Truth last week. And I have to say this, you know, Michelle and I went up for 4 days. And, as we were saying, the nature of the church is always glorious. But our condition can go up and down. And actually, it can kind of go up and down kind of quickly. At least my experience, getting away for 4 days with those young people, exercising their spirit. I tell you, we really enjoyed a rich blessing, being with the young people. And we even had a Lord's Table meeting together with them. And I have to say, every table meeting is wonderful. That was one of the sweetest table meetings I've had in some time, just to be there loving the Lord in such a pure way with these young people. So anyways, that was a real blessing. And I look forward next year to participating again. Hallelujah. So the condition can go up and down, but the nature is of Christ. And we see this matter concerning the way that the Lord puts the type together in Genesis, right? Where Adam, right, he needs a match, but the Lord goes and brings all the creatures of all creation before, but no match is found. So then the Lord builds a match, puts Adam to sleep, and out of his side a rib is taken, and Eve is built. And finally, it is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Well, the same is concerning the matter of the church, right? The Lord is building with his own life. Hallelujah. I'd like to also read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Amen. Has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body. So also is the Christ. So from this verse, the Apostle Paul is showing us an analogy that our human body has a head, right? But also has many members. But all these members function and operate, but it's one body. And then here he says, in the same way, so also is the Christ. And he does not say here, so also is Christ's body, which is what you would think he would say. But he's pointing here to this matter of the corporate Christ. That actually, the head and the body are the Christ. This is a great revelation in the New Testament and in the Holy Scriptures. So praise the Lord. So good to be, hallelujah, in the Christ. Amen. In the body of Christ. And functioning together with all of the members. Okay, I'd also like us to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, where they're renewed according knowledge of to the image of him who created him. And also 11. Where there cannot be Jew, circumcision, and uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. So, in our experience, we got saved, and we touched the Lord, and it's glorious. But sometimes, day to day, we may also have experiences of the old man, and it's not glorious. And it almost seems like, how can both be my situation? Well, in the new man, we must put on the new man to experience Christ. The Spirit is so real, and our experience of Christ is so real, but we must exercise. This was a strong burden with the young people, that we must exercise our spirit to have this experience. So we put on the new man, which is being renewed. And also, in verse 11, we see there cannot be, right? We are comprised of many different people from many different backgrounds. If you look around the room, there are many different peoples amongst us. However, we have been regenerated of God. God the Father has begotten us. We have His life, and that life is the life of Christ. And so in Colossians, you have Greek, you have Jew, right? You have the circumcision and the uncircumcision. The barbarian, the Scythian, the Scythians are the most barbarous people. And actually, we had some saints visit a couple of years ago, and they said that the place where they were from, they had done archaeological digs, and they believed that they had unearthed some of the remnants of the Scythian people. And they concluded that they were probably descendants of the Scythians. They were in our home. These people in history, Brother Lee says, were very barbarous. We won't even talk about the kind of terrible things they did. But there cannot be any Scythian. There cannot be any Americans, right? There cannot be any Texans, Chinese, you name it. There cannot be. All that there is room for in the body of Christ is Christ himself. Hallelujah. I love this verse. This is how we can have the new man together. We just have to reject what we are in Adam. Forget about it. That's the old man. When he rears his head, it's not a pretty sight. But when we live in Christ, when we exercise our spirit, we are the new man. We experience him, we express him, and we have his nature. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. So the church is a pure product of Christ, right? And we had shared those. Can we read Ephesians 5:30 and 32? Hallelujah. Because we are members of his body. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and me and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. So, this matter, as we shared earlier about the bone, right, being the rib being used to for Eve to be built, is a great mystery. But the real mystery is that it is Christ and the church. That the Eve is comes out of Adam, and in the same way, the church comes out of Christ and is one with him. Okay, now also in our morning time, we had this enjoyment from Revelation concerning the death, right? The church is... it is Christly, right? We've seen this morning. The church is also resurrectionly, right? So we know from the Lord's prophecy that the death of Hades would assail the church, right? The gates of death and Hades will not prevail against the builded church. Certainly they will try. And as many of us know, if you're in the church for a while, you will observe it at some point, that the gates of Hades are hard at work to bring death to the church. But I really enjoyed this point, that the church endures death. You know, these verses from Revelation where the Lord became dead and lived again. You know, the Lord, this is rather obvious, but I just want to say it. He doesn't escape death. He bursts the grave. You know, he, many times we're like Houdini, trying to find a way out of death. But the death comes. And when it comes, there's one way, and that is through the cross of Christ. And out on the other side comes the resurrection life. This is the reality of the experience of Christ in resurrection. In this way, the church is resurrectionly. Hallelujah! You know, we had planted a tree a year ago. We took down a giant pine tree in our front yard. Huge tree. And in our neighborhood, they require you to plant something. So we planted, you know, we took down a tree that was like this big, and we planted a tree that was like that big. I mean, they kind of let us off the hook. They really want you to do more than that. But anyways, we planted this little tree, and we were hopeful. You know, we got it from the Arbor Society. We planted it, dug a giant hole. Anyways, we weren't sure if it was going to make it. It was a cold winter. We had about this much ice and snow at one point. And when springtime rolled around, it was just twigs. And none of us had any faith that that tree was going to make it. I mean, I was ready to pull it out of the ground and try something else. But anyways, the good news was that one morning, I looked at that tree, that I'm talking this spring, and there were green shoots, green leaves coming out of that stem. And I was shocked. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my family, and my father-in-law thought, no, I think those are weeds. But no, not weeds. The resurrection life comes out of death, right? From death's jaw, renewal and resurrection life comes forward. So hallelujah. That tree's growing. It's not growing fast, but it's growing. Hallelujah. And when there's life, we have hope. We have hope in his life. Hallelujah. So in our experience, you know, like I said, the death comes. We just have to go to the Lord. There's no other way. And seek him. He is the resurrection and the life. This is what he has marked out for us. Anyhow, so praise the Lord. And then also, in the church is heavenly, right? The church is heavenly. The nature of the church is heavenly. And one key facet of the church being heavenly is that it is under God's will and under God's authority. You know, the church could be scriptural, but it must be under God's authority, must be subject to his will. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom is a matter of will, and that will be God's will expressed right here on earth with us. It starts with us. We can't wait for it to start with somebody else. We have to be those who are under his authority and under his will. Okay, praise the Lord. There's much, much rich portion here, and I'm going to step down. Brother Peter's going to come after me. The good news is that I just have to get on base. That's all I have to do, and that's all any of us have to do. We just bring our portion, and then the Lord will bring us home. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple of words for the Bible. And first time I visited that printing company in China, it was in February 2005. And almost printed it in. And it reached a pretty high level and it got shut down. So all these years, we never ceased to pray and to labor toward this goal. And now it's being printed. Just to introduce to you, that's called Amidi Printing Firm, Amidi Printing Company. That's the Bible printing firm. Right now they printed over 1.5 billion copies of Bible in 70 languages. Of course, there's over 75 million copies are in Chinese. Now, including our about 70,000 copies. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. I will take this opportunity to tell you a small story because it's related. And then this brother, he years ago, during the Cultural Revolution in China, in the 1960s, late 1960s, he was saved in Los Angeles, and he served for Free Asia radio station in Philippines. Many of you probably know that, right? From Philippines, you have the broadcast of a Christian radio to mainland China. In the late 60s and 70s, now it's still going on. So while he was serving there, he had the burden to smuggle Bibles into China. So how would you do that during the Cultural Revolution? So make a long story short, he smuggled in about 30,000 copies of the New Testament. He printed them like a Chairman Mao's red books. The cover is Chairman Mao's quotes. Inside is New Testament Bible. The Lord works marvelous ways. Like I'm telling you this, you probably cannot find this anywhere, but if you're interested, there is a book called Brother David. The book name is called Brother David. You probably heard another book called God's Smugglers. That's Brother Andrew. So this is a Brother David. That's a, Brother Andrew is the Open Door International. And this Brother David is a Love China International. So somehow he managed to smuggle in from Macau, because that's the place you can cross, you know, a gate. This is Macau. The other side is mainland China. So I'm talking about this because it's already history. So I don't worry about anybody reporting on this. And one day, when he was holding one bag of the red-covered New Testament, the Bible, crossing the gate, and a guard, and so he is in charge of 12. So that's their shift to guard there for the half day. So I don't know what you call it. What would you call a soldier in charge of 12 soldiers? A lieutenant? Corporal, maybe? Sergeant? So he came out. He stopped this brother, said, come over here. So he dragged him in his station, and he said, open your bag. So the brother was a little nervous. So he opened the bag. The corporal took a book, opened up, said, this is a New Testament. That brother said, yes, it is. And then that brother said, leave 12 copies for me. All the 12 soldiers are brothers. I led them to know the Lord. So from now on, our shift is this particular day. So whenever on this day, this few hours, and then you come. So through that, the brother shifted in about 30,000, the New Testament. But this is in 1968. You don't know the situation in China by then. So he had the burden, said, oh Lord, 30,000 means nothing. What about a million? What about 10 million? So he consecrated himself, offered himself to smuggle in 10 million copies of Bible inside China. Okay. I'm not going to tell you more stories, but if you're interested, go to Amazon, buy that book called Brother David. So he passed away in 2007, and his wife is still living in Seattle, Washington. And many years ago, I read this story because we were smuggling Bibles inside China ourselves. When I'm thinking about that, I got very moved. Praise the Lord. The church is resurrection. And we know many saints, maybe some in New York City, also joined those efforts in the early days. And after I became to serve full time, and a lot of these ministry books, we finished about 680 ministry books in simplified Chinese, and all the hymnals and all the Bible already. And then we also joined some effort trying to get a lot of this recovery version and also Brother Ni and Brother Li's books back inside China. And glorious days. Amen. Amen. So when I hold this copy of Bible, my feeling is different. My feeling is very different. That's a lot of prayers poured out for the printing and for the fruition of this copy. If you have electronic versions, you at least try to buy one as a souvenir, place in your home. This is a very different copy of Bible. Amen. Our brother just mentioning about the nature of the church. And the nature by itself is something unchangeable. Now we're not talking about chemistry or physics or biology. It is something unchangeable, uncorruptible, and cannot be defiled. It's just like a gold. The gold is one of the most inert metal. And as a chemist, I never dissolved the gold before. And there's called a king water. Okay. It's a mixture of 3:1 concentrated hydrogen chloride, you know, and concentrated hydrochloric acid plus nitric acid. That's called a king water. So it dissolves everything, anything you can name it. But take a long, long, long time, even for the gold to budge a little bit. So that's how tough the gold is. So when we talk about a golden lampstand, that's why the Bible uses gold to denote the nature of the Father. And it uses golden lampstand to denote the church. Because the nature is God Himself. The nature is divine. The nature by itself can go through death and emerge in resurrection. And because the nature is also heavenly. When we talk about the nature, I want to add to that, is two natures. It's divine and a human. The divinity and humanity are mingled together. I want to borrow one brother. Darren, come on. He's in decent condition right now, right? If we really mess him up, okay, if we got our young people to paint on you,
oh no,
okay, to smudge your face, to really mess up your hair, and to really dig out, you know, they do anything to you. If we just need your two sons, okay. If you give them liberty, and say, okay, do anything you like to daddy within the next half hour, you know you will be messed up.
That's right.
But his condition might be very, very bad. But in nature, he's still Darren. Am I right? So now just using this, don't go. I need you for a longer time. So the condition of the church can be up, can be down. Can be good or can be poor. Can have a lot of problems. No, he can get sick. I don't hope you're sick, okay? But he can get sick. He can get a car wreck. He can get all kinds of problems. But his nature is still Darren. And his nature is still his children's father and Alice's husband. It doesn't matter what condition he may be. And I may throw him in muddy water and pull him out. Just look at him. You know, he just becomes so messed up. But after water, some taking a shower and wash him, the nature shows up again. Because the condition cannot tell the nature. The condition does not reflect the nature. So the church is divine. The church is of Christ, is Christ, is in Christ, is from Christ, is for Christ. Amen. And the church is in resurrection. And the church is heavenly. It doesn't matter how you mess him up. You take a tissue out, check his DNA, he's still Darren. Because his nature is Darren dumb. Doesn't matter what food he eats, doesn't matter what clothes he wear, what car he drive, what job he does, that's all related with his condition. But nature is a Darren dumb. So this is his whole thing. But imagine what we are talking about. Christ is the head. Okay, I'm talking about those verses. You can check yourself. Okay, the head is a Christ. According to the Ephesians 1 and 2. We know he is the head of the body. The body is the church. So through the church, he will subject everything under his feet. So the head is Darren. Who is this part?
Darren.
It's Darren too. This is Darren's belly. Darren's shoulder. Darren's arm. Darren's leg. Darren's feet. Every part is Darren too. We say, oh, this is Darren. I only love this part. Darren, I love you. I love this part of Darren. I don't like this part of Darren. Or I like this arm. Darren, I don't like the other arm. Okay, why don't we give this arm to Jay? Give it to Jay Huang. Take it back to Stony Brook, okay? Do you think he will agree?
No.
So this is the head and the body. So this is the relationship of Christ and the church. Now within him, why is he leaving? He's standing here, looking pretty lively, right? Smile a little, okay? So he's pretty lively, isn't he?
Yes.
Because at least there's a one system is a working, and a working more now than when he was sitting, because his heart is pounding pretty fast. Okay. The circulation of the blood is going on from the body to the head. Does the head pump blood? Does it?
No.
Where does his part pump the blood? The heart. Is the heart the head? Can Christ function alone? Christ is heavenly. Christ is the king. He's on the throne. He's God. He created everything. Everything supposed to subject to him. In reality, is it really going on like that? It's not. So Christ needs the body.
Amen.
Even for his existence. Why Christ has to become human? Why he has to be incarnated? By himself in divinity, he's been existing from eternity past to eternity future. He doesn't have to go through any time bridge. But yet, he went to be a man. And now, this morning, the first hour, we've been praising him. Amen. Praising him for what? For him to be a man. Amen. For him to be incarnated. For him to go through that human living, to die for us, to go through that whole processes. Now today, that body is the product, the pure product of that processed and consummated triune God.
Amen.
So this head, don't go yet, okay? This head and the body is not only mechanically joined. It's not mechanically joined. It's joined in life.
Amen.
It's joined in nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, we are partakers of his nature, Amen. His divine nature. Saints, now in life and in nature, the body is identical to the head. Imagine. He doesn't like my body, okay? If I say, Darren, can we ask Roger to switch your head and my head? I give you my body, but I want to take your head. The result will be you'll be losing two brothers simultaneously, right? Guess what will be gone? The head and the body are inseparable. The nature and the life supply, the life flow, everything has to be one. This oneness of the head and the body is the full expression of the church and Christ.
Amen.
So today, if people want to find a Christ, where do they look? The church. If you want to find a Darren, where would you look? You say, maybe his head is in his bathroom. You have to look for his body and the head. You find the body, you will find the head. You find the head, you will see the body. Because they have to be always together. Am I right?
Amen.
You can lose your car key, you can lose your wallet, you can lose your Bible, you can lose everything, but you cannot lose your head. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. The nature of the church is Christ. Anything Christ is, anything Christ has accomplished, anything Christ has obtained or obtained and attained is for the body. Amen. And the body is for the head. So these two parts is one. Yet in him, he has two natures. Nature of his father. Amen. And nature of his mother. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
Do you look like your father or your mother?
Both.
Both. How about your temperament?
My temperament. My father.
More like your father, huh?
Right.
How about your two sons? They both look like you. They're pretty handsome. Just
thank you.
They have both your nature and your wife's nature.
Right.
The church has two natures as well. Just as Christ is God yet man, man yet God, is divine and human. The church is divine and human. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is very easy to understand. Now I'm going to use him again. Where's your wife?
I don't know.
Allison, can we borrow Allison? Alice. No,
she's
okay. So I wish she's here. Okay, but she may hear us and come out. Okay. In Genesis 2, and we know in Genesis 2, God created everything. In Genesis 1, he got rested. And then in 2, he created, or he planted, or he created the tree of life. And he brought that man before the tree of life. If I were God, I would accomplish all the purpose by then. But not yet. That's my thought. So he brought him, say, keep and work in this garden. Mm-hmm. So the Lord has the whole land. Yet, he confined it to a garden. He did not say, Darren, anywhere you run is yours. Just go. Run east, run west, run south, run north. Wherever you go is yours. No, God gave him, placed him in that garden. Mm-hmm. How big was that garden? I don't know. But at least is a garden. When you talk about a garden, there is a boundary. Mm-hmm. There is a boundary. So that's why he's been laboring in the garden. And the church also has a boundary. So that's why we're talking about a local churches or church ground. Mm-hmm. Saints, I'm not going to expound on this because I have to go on. He take care of the garden, keep the garden, and he can eat anything he pleases him. But God sternly charged him. In this garden, you can eat anything, but not this tree. Not anything from this tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat, surely that day you will die. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Adam did not know what's death. Because he had no idea what a death is. Am I right, Jay? Because he's the first man created. Mm. He did not know. What's really death mean? Huh. So when you eat the poison, you will know what death is. So brothers and sisters, in the church life, when we are all enjoying together, enjoying the church life, enjoying each other, all in spirit, enjoying the healthy speaking, healthy words, you have no sense what's death. Am I right? But when death comes, and you know immediately what a death is. We do pray as saints, we are and we can. That kind of diligent and discern what's life and a death. Mm-hmm. Secondly, God created so many animals. So many. I don't know how many. Millions animals, including those walking in two legs, four legs, flying with two wings, any four-winged birds. Anyway, all kinds of things. Adam was very innocent. He's pure, he's innocent, never got married, never fall in love, just caring for the garden. And when God said, I will find a helper as his counterpart. Okay. Find a helper as his counterpart. But he has to allow Adam to go through all the choosing processes. He did not put Adam to sleep first. Okay, connect this with our Lord's human living. All the processes he has to go through. When Adam was in the garden, God said, it's not good for man to be alone.
Amen.
I will find a helper to be his counterpart. What did God do? This is a very miserable and tempting. So, okay, suppose Darren is the first man on the earth. And God walked away, created Alice, and let Alice come to Darren and said, Darren, this is your helper, and this is your counterpart. Everything is done. This is the tree you eat. This is the tree don't eat. Things will become very simple. But when God placed Adam in the garden, he shooed all the animals, either walking or flying, come one by one before Adam. In the whole human history, there are twice God did this. Once is in the Garden of Eden, the other time is in Noah's Ark. Because it's not a Noah's family went out of the wilderness to catch those animals. Those animals came to them, right? Oh, in the Garden of Eden, the same thing. The animals walking maybe two by twos, maybe two by twos, walking by him. I don't know if there are any single animals, okay? Maybe some single animals. Otherwise, how can he looking for counterpart? At least he understood that part. All the animals marching on. Marching on. And Adam named them. Horse, donkey, pigeon, ostrich, camel, cow, elephant, tiger, lion, bear, black bear, raccoon, opossum, chicken. I don't know, have you ever tested yourself? In 10 minutes, how many names can you name? This is a smart dude. Adam was very smart. Just to come up with so many names, He has to have a tremendous vocabulary. Of course, I don't know what language he used. Maybe in Chinese. I have no idea. So he has to come up with all the names and name those animals. You know, I'm a chemist, a biologist, whatever you call me. I barely can name up to 100 animals, even after this many years of study. So he was the first one really naming and classifying those animals. So naming horse, donkey, and so on. When the animal's walking, and he cannot find his match, his counterpart, if you calculate yourself, and it probably took him many days to name all those animals passing by. If God really get all those animals passing by him, he would be tired to death, bored to death. Where's my counterpart? Just like when we introduce, say, Darren, we want to introduce, you know, see if we can find a wife for you. And Roger led a dog by. Sam led a horse by. You know, I led a pig by. I mean, just say, if I got a big pig, I say, Darren, how about this one? After many times, he would get bored, he would get tired. He'd say, what are you guys doing? What's going on? Where's my counterpart? So I spent a little more time on this, give you a deeper impression. Our Lord went through all the steps, all the processes, looking for his counterpart, for his church, until he has to, his human nature has to be put in his physical realm to a temporary halt until enter into resurrection, uplifted humanity. So, and God will come back and ask, Adam, did you find any appropriate counterpart yet?
No.
Adam said, no. No. Did God would abuse him, rebuke him and say, why can't you find a counterpart? I'm sure our God Father was very pleased and say, good job. Good job. Because those were not intended to be your counterparts. Now, go to sleep. And he took a rib out of the man. And he built that rib into a woman. Now this time, he built that woman. Of course, he sealed his flesh. And led that woman to this woke up Adam. This Adam must be jumping with joy because he was so tired going through so many steps waiting for this moment. He jumped up and said, this time, this time, this time, this is a flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. Brothers and sisters, our Lord has been waiting for that day.
Amen.
Has been waiting for that moment. But that moment occurred about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he breathed himself into his few disciples. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, the life-giving spirit poured down from heavens. And the counterpart, if the Lord is speaking by then, he will say, this time, the 120 come out, the 3,000 joined. He will say, this time, This time, this is the bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh.
Amen.
Saints, this is the beginning of the church. Amen. And now today, that church has been going on for 2,000 years. But this church, because of the condition, it's not yet being fully built up. So the nature is good, but the condition is not always there for the building up and the growth of the body. So this is our current situation. Saints, when Paul come to realize this, I mean, Paul was a single man. He must know Genesis very well. But he gave himself to the Lord, to God, to serve according to his forefathers, according to the Judaism. Of course, he never experienced that moment of his marriage, said, this time. But he got so exhilarated in Ephesians 5 when he was talking about the relationship of the wife and the husband. And he began to talk about Genesis 2. Genesis 2, he said, that's why when we talk about church, Christ and the church, turns out Genesis 2 was talking about Christ and the church. Amen. He was so excited. He said, this mystery is great. Because in Genesis 2, that's a great mystery, that Christ is waiting for the arrival of his counterpart. That's, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two will become one flesh.
Amen.
This mystery is great, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Now, I'm going to finish with one word. When Adam was put to sleep, just like our Lord was crucified on the cross, Adam's side was opened, and our Lord's side was pierced. Adam's side, a rib was taken out, and our Lord flowed out blood and water.
Amen.
That part, Adam's part, was sealed. Our Lord's side was never sealed. Even in resurrection, when Thomas does not believe, he said, unless I poke my head in the hole, poke my head here, I will not believe. When the next Lord's Day, when the Lord appeared to the disciples again, said, stretch out your hand. You want to stick your finger in the hole? You want to poke your finger in this hole? Which means it's not sealed. Why? Because the church has to become one flesh. I'm talking about this flesh is not our flesh. Has to become one with the Christ. So this is where the word cleave was used in grafting. You chop, you cut it open, and you plant, join another party into it. Once you're into it, you seal them together, and they will grow together. So the church is out of Christ, is a pure product of Christ, is everything of Christ. It has to be returned to Christ, for Christ, for his glorification, for his full expression. So for this joint, the church has to be cleaved back to Christ, and the two join together and grow together. Now, this joint is not on the side, but on the head and the body. Amen. Now, this head and the body was cleaved together. Now, the body and the head and the body grow together. And the body has to grow into the head. From the head, everything falls into place. Every part will grow according to its capacity and function. And every member will function. And every member will love each other. And then the body will grow. So the building up is through growing. Saints, I think I better stop, okay? Otherwise, it's too much. I'm getting very excited about it, okay? Our Lord, this grafting, this jointing together, the body and the head, of course, is not a sewing together or stitch together using immunosuppressant so they can grow together. No, not at all. Because they have the same life, same nature, same function, same expression. The body is the head. The head is the body. When we talk about the head of the body of the head, because it's just one corporate entity. The individual, the single Christ, become a corporate Christ. The head now is the head of the body. Since the picture is just worth more than 1,000 words. And when we talk about the nature of the church, it is God himself. It is sanctified. It is holy. It is Christ himself. Went through all the processes, went through death, and come to resurrection. And it is the source is heavenly, and the source is Christ. And today, the church, saints, don't look at the conditions of the whole church. Even don't look at the conditions of any individual brothers and sisters. We are all members of the body. We are all members in this body. And his arm might be broken, but it is still part of the body. It's still a member of the body. It may lose its function. The condition might be bad, may lose its function for a while, or maybe even really got even more damage, but it is still the member of the body. So saints, let's regard each other, respect each other as members of the body. And we are all redeemed by his death. We are all redeemed, purchased back for this body. We are all enjoying the eternal life. We are all being transformed, renewed and transformed to become more Christly, more resurrectionly, more heavenly, more godly. Saints, today the church is in nature God himself. And that God is in us. The triune God as a life-giving spirit is always dispensing, transmitting himself into every part of the body so the body can grow, can give him full glory, give him a whole, full, the highest expression as a corporate entity. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I didn't break your arms or anything, but thank you. I will stop here, since the message, this outline is very rich, but in between, we have to be watchful. We have to be very watchful, because it's not only because of the enemy. Satan. It is because you and I. Because you and I, we fell once and we fell for a long time. And even though we have the life, we have the nature. But don't forget, we have several natures in us. Not only divine nature, we have human nature. In our human nature, we have a satanic nature as well. So that nature is messing things up. And our self, in our desire, our ambition, our seeking any interest, anything other than Christ will be frustration to the church, will be frustration to the body. So saints, we have to be watchful and diligent to guard against all these negative things, particularly yourself and myself. And the church is to go on. And so praise the Lord. And the church is divine. The church is Christly. The church is resurrectionly. The church is heavenly. The church is a pure, pure product of Christ. As a chemist, I know what pure means. Pure means pure. It's not a 99.99. It's not a 99.99999. It's 100%. Christ is all and in all, which means pure. Gold in gold. Everything but a gold. That's called a pure. Christ is all and in all. That's pure. Praise the Lord.